The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
It's a good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We have Kent Summers chopping it up today. Kent left the Arizona Republic. He is in the retired space, semi-retired, but he's maintaining gap integrity, which means he's got some gaps and he's maintaining them. And we want to fill in the gaps with Kent today on things around the Cardinals and Monty Williams and the Diamondbacks. But in particular, I want to talk with Kent. He dropped me a note the other day about Kyler Murray and his, the belief that it's not, that it is a good thing if Kyler doesn't play this coming season. And I don't agree with that. I don't think he agrees with it, and he wanted to state his case. So we will have Kent with us on all things going on in the Phoenix sports scene, and we'll have much more. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. As always, we appreciate their ongoing support. I watched the Diamondbacks last night. I'll get into that in a moment. I saw a dreadful movie last night. You're thinking, well, how'd you do both? It's the beauty of being able to roll something back. I don't have to see it in real time. I was at a movie last night. I can't say what it was, but it was just, and it's coming this summer. And it's dreadful. That's it. I'm just going to say that because we're not allowed yet to crush it, which I'm going to do. The NBA Finals start tonight. They're at Denver. And I am rooting for the Nuggets. I don't root, but I'm rooting for the Nuggets. I like Eric Spoelstra. There's something about Spo that the fact that he was a video coordinating guy. I'm telling you, if you want to get into the business of sports, there's two guys that you need to know the names of that were the video coordinating guys. One is Eric Spoelstra, the head coach of the Heat. The other is David Griffin, who's now the general manager of New Orleans. Griff was with the Suns back when I was doing Sun stuff in the early or mid-90s, and he would work in the media relations department. I'd call him and say, hey, Griff, I need a credential. I'm coming to tonight's game, and I need a seat, and I need my name on the parking list. And now Griff was overseeing LeBron James in Cleveland. Griff. So I'm giving you a little bit of, if you want to be in the business of sports, video coordinator, go do it. I don't know how you major in that, but Griff went from video coordinator all the way up to he's running the Pelicans now. And he was assistant GM with the Suns, and he's well-regarded, well-thought-of. He's a Brophy guy. And Spo is same space. Like that story. Jokic, there's nobody that's going to be able to stop Jokic. Like, on the surface, Denver should win this series, right? I don't think Bam Adebayo is going to slow down Jokic. Do you? I mean, even the most ardent Heat fan, Kevin Love is on the floor. He can't move. He can shoot. And then there's the Jimmy Butler factor. I think there's enough guys on Denver. Maybe it's just because I watched Denver up close and personal in the last series for the Suns. But I just look at this and think this should be Denver. It should be Denver. Monty Williams goes to Detroit and gets a good number, 72 million reasons to go to Detroit. He's only 51, and the Suns paid him off to go away. Now, are those numbers mixed? I don't know. But good for Monty. I like Monty Williams. I've had some people like, he wasn't tough enough. He never used a curse word and all this stuff. I'm like, come on. Are we at a space with the Suns where they can't find a coach? Here's why I'm asking this question. So if I'm to believe that Nick Nurse, through the Nurse side of the street that leaked it out, that the Suns were negotiating with Nick Nurse, wanted Nick Nurse, and Philadelphia wanted Nick Nurse, and that was on Monday, and Nick Nurse said, I'm going to Philly because I want Joel Embiid. And we're sitting here now on Thursday, and the Suns still don't have a coach. If it were Doc Rivers, wouldn't that already have happened? So is it going to go all the way back around to the assistant coach on Monty's staff? Is that what's going to happen here? Or is there someone still? Is Ty Lue still behind the scenes? All of a sudden, boom, yeah, this all came together really quick. I loved how the Bob Myers story happened the other day out of Golden State. He leaves the Warriors, well-regarded front office executive, And the first thing that comes out, Suns related. Kevin Durant called him from Monaco. Oh my gosh, that's got to mean there's something there. I guess it's fun to talk about. I don't know, reality? The Diamondbacks last night, so I did not watch it from start to finish. I watched the last couple of innings. Christian Walker hits another home run. I find them interesting. I find that I do have to watch the end of games. I don't know about you, sitting for 2 hours and four, even with the new pace of play, it's still a big commitment for 2 hours, 20 minutes, 2 hours, 40 minutes. And I'll tune in at the beginning. I'll tune in the middle. If I know that Corbin Carroll's coming up, I'll stick around through a break. I've only been to a couple games this year. So I guess I'm one of those when people are posting pictures of, why are there no fans in the stands? Because the team's been so bad for so long. It's just not that simple. It's just not that simple to say, hey, everybody show up, everything's great. Day game today, and then Atlanta rolls in here over the weekend, one of the top teams in the National League, and that'll be interesting to see if fans do show up for that. All right, Kent Summers is next. We'll chop it up. The side story of Kyler Murray, the view of Kyler within the building, do they want him back, Jonathan Gannon so far, and much more with Kent Summers. That's next. All right, Kent Summers with us for a couple of minutes. He is maintaining gap integrity. That's what he's doing. I think that's what he should be referred to as, the guy who's maintaining gap integrity since leaving AZ Central. It's a good title for you. Monty Williams has to feel pretty good about his checking account today. The decimal points moved quite a bit. What did you make out of Monty?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting when, from what I read, the Pistons approached him once and he goes like, nah, I'm going to take a year off. You think, okay, maybe he's not crazy about the Pistons. And then they come back with an offer worth an average of $12 million. The question I have, how much of that are the Suns paying? I mean, if in the NFL, if a coach is fired and gets another gig, you know, there's offset language. So are the Suns paying still owe him that first $6 or $7 million? And so the Pistons like, yeah, we'll make it look like $12 million we're paying you when actually it's only five. Right. But yeah, it seems like a good fit for him. They've got some good young pieces. And he's good with those kind of teams. So yeah, good for him and good for the Pistons. That's a great hire for them.
You know, I agree with you, but I'm looking over at the Suns, and are we at the point? You know how this goes, Ken. Are we at the point where the Suns can't find a coach? Because Nick Nurse, sitting in a boardroom, if I'm to believe everything, Nick Nurse was sitting there with the Suns on Monday and the Sixers, and he said, yeah, I'm going to Philadelphia. And then Tuesday comes and goes, and Wednesday comes and goes. And Bob Myers, he's going to come to the Suns. Like KD called him. He's got to be coming to the Suns. And James Jones is going to be out of here. That hasn't happened. So I'm just looking from your perspective. Are we at a space yet with Matt Ishbia of can't find a coach?
I don't know. I guess you could make that argument if it's true that Nick Nurse picked the 76ers over the Suns. I would think that if the Suns wanted Doc Rivers, he would be here by now. I mean, that's a deal that could come together quickly. I would think Doc Rivers would want this job, would see KD and Booker and probably Chris Paul and, you know, maybe DeAndre Ayton, and he could make that work. But maybe they're not completely sold on Doc Rivers. And, you know, it'd be interesting if they take all this time and come around and hire Kevin Young, who is with them the whole time. You know, I guess they could come out and say, look, we conducted an exhaustive search. We interviewed all these people. We wanted to make sure, but the guy we wanted already had a parking spot at the facility. You know, there's no reason to make a change.
Kent Summers with us for a couple of minutes. Okay, I want to get into Kyler Murray. You dropped me a note about this. And because I've been thinking, like, where are we going with Kyler and with the Cardinals having the number one pick maybe next year? And having the Texans first round pick could have two very high picks. I don't think you can make an argument that the Cardinals are not going to be in the top five next year, just based on how things have played out. We'll see. But Kyler Murray, Kent, what are your deep thoughts on what he is about to enter into this season and the Cardinals and the two of them? And is this marriage coming to an end?
You know, it's interesting. And even if they aren't in the top five, they've got two picks. So they have the ability to get into the top five, even if they're just outside. But yeah, the Kyler Murray situation is fascinating to me, especially with all this growing speculation. And granted, we all have time and space to fill about Kyler Murray possibly not playing at all in 2023. And I don't think that's good for the Cardinals or Kyler Murray. I don't know that that's going to happen. I think there are things they want to see from Kyler Murray off the field, and they're seeing him. He's seeing him now. He's showing up. He's here for the offseason. He's training. He's with the guys. Seems to be in the video room all the time with coaches. They're raving about him. All of that is a positive. But I would think at some point, this staff and GM Monty Austenfort would want to see him in a game. Because there's so, as you said, there's so many important decisions that are going to be made next year. And I think, you know, and I think Kyler probably really wants to play. I mean, despite all the flack he's taken, I think he's a competitive guy. I think he'll want to come back and play. Now, we don't know what October is going to look like, October, December, November, what this is going to look like for this team. Are they able to protect a quarterback? Are they, you know, are they 1-9 and, you know, you bring Kyler back and you ask for who, for what. But I think it'd be good for him to get on the field. I think it'd be good for the Cardinals if he gets on the field.
Is he in a space, from your view of here in the market, let's just talk fandom here in Phoenix. You know this, you've been here a long time covering it. I've seen it a long time. There comes a point where the fans are like, yeah, we're done with you. Are we there with Kyler Murray from a fan's point of view, from what you've heard through your listeners, viewers? What I'm hearing is, yeah, it's time to move on. I think it'd be a huge mistake myself. You don't just blow a number. It's like saying DeAndre Ayton, we just have to move on from DeAndre. You don't move on from a pick that high. You just don't do it.
He's a polarizing figure. That's the feedback I've always received from fans. And even, you know, from what you read in media, the camps are very divided. You're either pro Kyler, anti Kyler, or you haven't. There are very few people who haven't formed an opinion about Kyler Murray, about whether he's the guy going forward. The problem is for the let's move on from Kyler Murray people. What do you do with that contract? I mean, it's crazy. They've got, you know, if they trade him or release him next year, they've got like $80 million of cap space they've got to account for over 2 years. And this is a team that's going to be emerging with a ton of cap space in 2024. They already have 20 something million dollars. Right now they're projected to have $51 million in 2024, but they definitely have to answer the question, is he part of our rebuild? Is he the guy who's going to lead us? It's a difficult contract to move on from. We've seen similar situations in the NFL, though teams have a way of doing that. But, you know, if you're not sure about Kyler Murray, can you afford to pass on one of the top two quarterbacks in next year's draft, and especially, you know, Caleb Williams?
How is he viewed within the building, locker room, upstairs, from the people that you talk to? Because you talk to people more so than I do. What's the view internally of Kyler Murray?
Last year, when I was closer to it, I think all the things that came out last year about questions about his leadership, about his body language on the field, all of those things were legitimate questions. I think teammates had those questions about it. I think, you know, offensive tackle Kelvin Beachum, while choosing his words very carefully, as Kelvin often does, made it clear that, hey, you know, we need to see steps from Kyler in terms of maturity and leadership. And I think that last year, I think that went all the way up to ownership with Michael Bidwell. I think the new regime seems to have connected with Kyler Murray, and Kyler Murray seems to have taken steps to make sure that happens. So I think both sides deserve credit. You know, Jonathan Gannon came out and said, hey, you know, he's my quarterback. I wouldn't have taken this job if he's not the quarterback. Now, that may be a case of I love the one I'm with until he proves he's not, probably. But there, it seems to be a change in the organization right now. I like the fact that from almost day one, Kyler Murray has been rehabbing in Arizona and not in Texas. That's what Michael Bidwell wanted him to do, and he's done it. And he seems to be spending a lot of time at the facility in this offseason, and that's what Monty Austenfort and Jonathan Gannon wanted to see.
have to tell you, I'm really uncomfortable with all the criticism and dumping on Jonathan Gannon. Like, oh, it's fine the day that the coach is hired or the week after the coach is hired to say, I don't think it was a good hire. I think it's completely unnecessary here as we're into June now to say it's the worst hire of all the coaches and he doesn't know what he's doing. I don't know that. He hasn't been on the field yet to do it, right? And have you sensed that and seen that too? Or is that just me?
You've seen that, and especially with the way the whole tampering thing with the Eagles came across, the Cardinals contacting him when it wasn't permissible for him to interview, and did that distract him from preparing for the Super Bowl? I understand that. Certainly Jonathan Gannon could have handled his introductory press conferences, you know, when he denied having prior contact to the Cardinals before the Super Bowl or impermissible contact when basically he lied and got caught in it. Same thing with Monty Ossenfort. They, I think, would acknowledge they could have handled all that better. But if Jonathan Gannon was really distracted in preparations for the Super Bowl, why did the Eagles defense play so well in the first half of that game? I mean, that was a unit that was prepared and ready to play. If there's a fault of Jonathan Gannon, is that Andy Reid, through his experience and a veteran staff, outcoached him in the second half, which I think that happened. That's the criticism of Jonathan Gannon. But I agree with you. To sit here and make a determination now that he's the worst hire, he's the worst this, he's the worst. Who knows? Who knows? He may turn out to be Bill Belichick. He may turn out to be a one and done. I don't think so. But we don't know.
It's kind of like Kenny Dillingham. Kenny said it to me the right way. He's like, we can ask for anything right now. It's January. It's February. It's March. Yeah, well, now it's June. He still asks for anything because we don't know if he's going to be a good head coach or not.
If people, you know, if people get all excited too, there's the other part of it. It's like, oh, everything's changed. This is a completely different program. Speaking of Kenny Dillingham, and I get it. And it might be, but you go back to Herm Edwards' first 8 months on the job and go back and listen to what was said and what was written back then. Oh, this is completely different than Todd Graham. There's a freshness to the program. He's going to be able to recruit, blah, 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 blah. We don't know. We don't know. That's just what happens. That's why they call it a honeymoon period.
That's why they call it the silly season in May, June, July, as you referred to earlier. We have a lot of time on our hands.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's sports. It's fun. It's fun to speculate and to have an opinion. And, you know, you just, even if you have an opinion, you like to think people would leave themselves open to changing that opinion when the facts are in front of them, either way.
Okay. Facts are the Diamondbacks are 10 games over 500. Are you surprised on June 1st?
Maybe a little bit.
They're fun.
I had hopes for this team and, you know, you watching him toward the end of last season, you know, when Carroll came up and Jake McCarthy and some of the young arms, you thought, okay, I could see some potential in this team. They're going to play baseball a little bit of a different way too than what we've seen, around the league. It's been surprising a little bit how they've done this. Some of the guys they were counting on, who have gone to the minors, you know, and come up, and you get a guy like Tommy Henry, who looks like maybe he's emerging as the solid third starter. But yeah, they're a fun team to watch. I'm watching the game last night with my 89-year-old mother-in-law, and she goes, "Well, if this team's so good, how come so many few people are in the stands?" You know, it's like, well, there's a long history there. It is the Rockies, but yeah, you've got a point. It'll be interesting to see through the summer if they continue this, if the community gets behind them in terms of, you know, showing up to the ballpark. Says a guy who hasn't been to the ballpark this year. So I, you know, I'm right there with that group.
Only been twice. The Braves roll into the top teams this weekend, and I'm not expecting sellouts or anything like that, but it beats the alternative. As Ketel Marte goes, it seems like that's how the franchise goes from the offensive standpoint. And he's been really good. And Corbin Carroll's a rookie of the year kid. So,
yeah. Yeah. They've got some power. I mean, Christian Walker, you know, it's fun to watch with McCarthy back. They've got to running a little bit more than they did. They, you know, started off the season running like crazy and then had some guys hurt or sent down, and that went into a little bit of a lull. They're back to playing that kind of baseball now. And as I said, they're getting some pitching. That'll be the big question but behind the big two, can they find another starter, at least one reliable starter, and can the bullpen hold up?
He is maintaining gap integrity. That is Kent Summers. Good to see you. Thanks for chopping it up.
Thanks, Brad.
We're back with more after this time out.